morning. We invite your attention to Philippians chapter 4, verses 6 and 7, and then we'll turn back a page or so to Ephesians 6 and verse 18. That's Philippians 4, 6 and 7, and Ephesians 6, verse 18. You know, today is a day that is set aside to honor our fathers, and I am thankful for one to have a father who had brought me to church, to this church, from before I can remember, and feel blessed to have him here today. And as I thought about Father's Day, I had to think of the one who was really anxious, always anxious for us to meet his Father. Jesus, as he walked this earth, always pointed to his Father. He said, "I and the Father are one." He says, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me." He was always pointing to his Father, honoring his Father. "I do always those things that honor my Father," he said. And as an example, for us who have been blessed with fathers who have lived out the Christian life by precept and example before us, should try also to do the things that would honor not only our Father on earth, but our Father in heaven. Philippians 4, 6 and 7. "Be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving let your requests be made known unto God. And the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus." And then turning back to Ephesians 6, verse 18. "Praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints." As I looked at those verses, in particularly the two we read from Philippians, the song came to mind, "Oh, what peace we often forfeit. Oh, what needless pain we bear. All because we do not carry everything to God in prayer." Let's do that just now as we bow before him in prayer.
This morning, I didn't feel led to speak a Father's Day sermon. Possibly later this year, I plan on doing a series of sermons on parenting. But I do want to direct a couple of comments towards fathers here at the beginning of this message. Just a little bit of advice. You know, one of the most important things you can do as fathers is model relationships. And this is something when parenting, it gets overlooked in all the advice. Your children will see how you handle relationships, and they will imitate that and live that out as they grow up. Fathers, think of your relationship with your wife. Your sons will treat their wife like you treat your wife. Your daughters will also imitate your relationship with your wife as she interacts with other people. It's interesting, those who have studied this tell us that a child who sees his father who is angry with his wife, critical, slandering his wife, that child will grow up scarred, hurting, and angry. But a child who sees a loving and respectful husband-wife relationship, I mean, it's such a blessing. Also, fathers, I want us to think of our relationship with God. As you relate to your Heavenly Father, your sons and daughters will relate that way to you. Do you want your children to grow up talking to you on a regular basis? Do you want your children to seek your advice and friendship? Do you want your children to grow up spending time with you? If you do, you need to model, as a father, you need to model that relationship with your Heavenly Father. Do they see you having morning devotions with your father? Do they see you talking to him with an attitude of prayer throughout the day? Do they see you talking to him in family devotions? Do your children sense that you love spending time with your Heavenly Father? If they do, you are blessing them in a wonderful way. And this advice, it applies to mothers as well. Do they see your relationship with your husband as one of respect? Do they see your relationship with God as being intimate in nature? There are little eyes upon you, and they're watching night and day. There are little ears that quickly take in everything you say. There are little hands all eager to do everything you do. And a little boy who's dreaming of the day he'll be like you. There's a wide-eyed little fellow who believes you're always right, and his ears are always open as he watches day and night. You are setting an example every day in all you do for the little boy who's waiting to grow up to be just like you. May God bless you as parents as you model love and respect to each other and to God. Over the last couple months, we have been looking at different types of prayer. Brother Marlon Haidt and myself preached on the prayer closet, the prayer of personal devotions. Brother Ken Nell spoke about corporate prayer, body prayer. Brother Paul Shirk spoke on a type of prayer called prevailing prayer. Today we want to focus on the prayer of supplication. Ephesians 6 verse 18 mentions the prayer of supplication, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit. The prayer of supplication, it's actually a prayer of petition. Supplication means petition. A petition is a special, specific request to an authority. A person might petition the school board to change curriculum. A person might petition a court to show leniency. The prayer of supplication is a special, specific request to God about a need or needs. The prayer of supplication also implies a lot of emotion and zeal in the petition. The Greek word for supplication actually means to beg. It means earnestness, tears, expectations. I want to look at some scriptures relating to the prayer of supplication. In Acts 1 verse 14, it says, "They all continued with one accord in prayer and supplication." Notice first that they were one accord in prayer. Now, this is a different Greek word than supplication. This is a prayer that's more general in type. It implies a worship and prayer, asking God for their basic needs, general nature. But they didn't stop there. In prayer and supplication, specific, special requests to God. We just read Philippians 4, verse 6. Maybe you have your Bibles open to that. Be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. Again, we have the command to pray, a general prayer of worship. But also it mentions the prayer of supplication, a specific request to God. The word "be careful" actually means be careful for nothing. It's talking about being anxious, anxiety. You know, when we have anxiety, we usually petition the wrong person. The wife who has anxiety about her husband might nag him, petition him to make changes. The husband who has concerns about his wife makes requests of her to change. The parents who deal with anxiety with their children make petitions of them to try to control them. Philippians 4 verse 6 says, when you have problems, petition God. And the peace of God's going to fill your heart. One by one and more, give those special petitions to him. This isn't a general prayer. It's specific and special in nature. It's zoomed in, focused on certain people in certain areas. I want to read 2 Corinthians 1, verse 10 and 11. This is another example. who delivered us from such a great a death and doth deliver, in whom we trust that he will yet deliver us, ye also helping together by prayer for us. And that's supplication for us. The word prayer, verse 11, is a Greek word for supplication. Paul is saying, you're helping us with your supplication. You specifically prayed for my health. You specifically prayed for my safety. Your specific petitions are why we are still here to minister to you. Let's look a little at the emotional element of the prayer of supplication. We mentioned in the word, Greek word, it means to beg. God created us as emotional beings, and much of our communications with each other involves emotions, like such as facial expressions, body language, tone of voice, loudness of voice, repetition of word, tears. When we pray without emotion, we are not praying with our entire body. We don't want people talking to us like zombies. Why then do we sometimes have zombie prayers? Isn't he awesome to talk to? Aren't the needs great? Do we want a yes answer? Suppose you had a disease and there was only one doctor in the world who could help you. If you go to meet the doctor, would you say, A, please help me with this disease? Or B, doctor, I need you. I beg of you to have mercy and please, please, please help me. A or B? I think it would be B. Why then are prayers so much A? Zombie prayers. Where is emotion as we pray for our neighbor's salvation? Where is emotion as we plead with God for the future of our child? Are these not important? Supplication involves emotion. I thought we could read Psalm 69, a couple of verses together. If you want to turn to Psalm 69, we're going to read verses 13 to 17 together. And as we read this, I want you to just notice the specific requests he makes. Notice the emotion as he begs God in these requests. And then just contemplate on your prayers. Is this how your prayers of supplication are? So we're going to read Psalm 69, verses 13 to 17 together. But as for me, my prayer is unto thee, O Lord, in an acceptable time. O God, in the multitude of thy mercy, hear me in the truth of thy salvation. Deliver me out of the mire, and let me not sink. Let me be delivered from them that hate me, and out of the deep waters. Let not the water flood overflow me, neither let the deep swallow me up, and let not the pit shut her mouth upon me. Hear me, O Lord, for thy loving kindness is good. Turn unto me according to the multitude of thy tender mercies, and hide not thy face from thy servant, for I am in trouble. Hear me speedily. Do we offer prayers of supplication with body, soul, and spirit? You can flip back to Ephesians 6, verse 18. This gives the most details about the prayer of supplication. This verse lists four alls regarding prayer. It talks about all prayer at all times for all saints with all perseverance. And we're going to kind of use that for an outline. First of all prayer. Praying always with all prayer and supplications. What that means is we are to use all types of prayer in communication with God. And that's what we've been trying to focus on each month. The different types of prayer that we are to communicate with God with. We talked about the closet prayer, a time of personal devotion with God, unceasing prayer, corporate congregational prayer, the prayer of supplication, the prayer of thanksgiving, prevailing prayer, intercessory prayer, repetitious prayer. We are to pray with all prayer types. As I thought about this method of communicating with God, I realized we use all these communication types in our marriage relationship. For example, let me give an example. A wife communicates with all communications with her husband. Sometimes she gets alone with him to tell him something. Some wives communicate unceasingly. They might be sending text messages through the day to their husband. Sometimes the family corporately gets together, maybe to appeal to the husband, the father, for something. Many times a wife will petition special requests to her husband about a need she has. Sometimes a wife will repeat a need she has if it's really urgent. Sometimes a wife will give her husband praise and thanksgiving. We use all these methods of communication with each other. And God asks us to use all prayer types with him. The second all is at all times. Supplication, requests to God are to be given at all times, in all occasion, praying always with all prayer. In Colossians 4, verse 2, it says, continue in prayer. 1 Thessalonians 5, verse 17, pray without ceasing. I want to ask you a question. How many of you would consider getting up in the morning, having a time to breathe air, and stop breathing, and then maybe before you go to bed, breathe again? How many of you would consider doing that? We would never consider that, because breathing air is life. In a spiritual sense, breathing prayer is spiritual life. Prayer to the Christian is like oxygen to the lungs. They are inseparable. On all occasions, at all times, not just in the morning, not just before we go to bed, we are be in the state of mind where we're apt to prayer. W.A. Criswell once said, we can pray while our hands are busy, washing dishes, sweeping out the house, at a typewriter, riding to town, coming back from work, selling goods over the counter, poring over some law books. All through the day, we can breathe a prayer. All these things that we can ask God for in behalf of our church, in behalf of revival, in behalf of service, in behalf of the laws, in behalf of home and family, and the pastor, and the work of God on earth, and in behalf of our schools and our missions fields and our missionaries, unquote. Philippians 4, verse 6 from the ESV, do not be anxious about anything, but in everything by prayer and supplication, let your requests be made known to God. Don't be anxious. Petition God at all times. Maybe you're thinking, Ray, well, when I have my morning devotions, I can only pray for 2 minutes. And then I'm out of stuff to pray about. How will I ever pray at all times? I want to give you an easy solution that will keep you in a state of prayer. Whatever you are thinking or observing, pray about it. Whatever you are thinking or observing, pray about it. We never run out of thoughts, do we? They keep floating across our minds. If you have a thought, pray about it. Make it a prayer. I want to give us an example of how this works. Let's say a mother and the children, father, they get up in the morning. And the mother is helping her young child get dressed in the morning. And so she's thinking about her child as she's dressing him. So she prays for him right then. As she makes breakfast, she worries that she's not going to get everything done. So she asks the Lord that things would go well that day. As she does the breakfast dishes, she sees a neighbor walking by on the road. So she prays for her neighbor's salvation. And then she goes out to pick blueberries. And she thanks the Lord for the blueberries and asks God to send rain. And as she's picking blueberries, she's thinking about someone she has a strained relationship with. And so she prays that God would bless her relationship with that person. And as she's out picking blueberries, thoughts come to her mind. She worries about her husband being too busy and not spending enough time with her. And she prays. Then she prays that God would instruct her husband to spend more time with her. And as she puts wash in the washing machine, for some reason, Neil comes to her mind in China. And so she prays for God to be with Neil. By now, it's almost 9 o'clock. And she has prayed for her child. She has prayed her day would go well. She prayed for her neighbor's salvation. She thanks the Lord. She asked for rain. She prayed for a strained relationship. She prayed for her husband to spend more time with her. She prayed for Neil and China. And it's only 9 o'clock. If you think it, pray it. Praying always, all times, all occasions. Someone once wrote, "How do you know when it's time to pray? I mean, our stomachs growl when it's time to eat. How do you know when it's time to pray? Is there a clanging inside your head? Just what is your way of knowing when it is time to pray? With me, I find it is time to pray when I am sick and feeling bad or scared or lonely or lost or sad. When the bills blow in like sand, I seek a touch of the Master's hand. When I need patience, hope, and peace. When I am thankful, all there is, gladness, sadness, joy, and grief, we share in prayer. And it is my belief that whenever my heart has something to say, that is how I know when it's time to pray." The third "all" is for all saints. Ephesians 6, verse 18. "And watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints." It seems Paul is trying to broaden their target, their prayer target. Here at Ephesus, like any church, maybe they were prone to pray only for their ministry team, the saints there, those at Ephesus. And Paul is saying, make the prayer target larger. Zoom out. Pray for the saints in Jerusalem, the saints in Colossae. Pray for the saints in Antioch. Pray for the saints at Thessalonica. Pray for the ministry team at all the churches. Make the target bigger. Broaden your prayer focus. You know, on their radar, maybe to this point, it only scanned the Ephesus area. Paul said, zoom out and put other saints on your radar. We see here a part of the bodybuilding mechanism. The church at Ephesus in prayer was probably working miracles far away in the church at Philippi. You see, the power of prayer was not designed to be only local in nature. I remember years ago, I don't know how long ago it was, we used to get these phone bills from our landline. And this was before we had cell phones. And there would be a long list, and that list would list local calls. And then there would be a list of Pennsylvania calls, in-state calls. And then if we made any international calls, it would be a list of international calls. Well, when God has hooked you up to his prayer line, he designed it not to be just local, but he designed your prayer line to be international in nature. Too many of us are limiting it to local prayers. We are hooked up to God. He paid the fee for us to call on him by his hanging on the cross. The connection is there for us to change the world. Yet we only pray locally sometimes. Do we pray for Trinity, Hades, White Oak, Brunswick, Sanford, Wasilla Brethren Fellowship, the Churn of God Brethren Church? Do you pray for the Christian? I just saw a picture in the paper. They're tearing down churches in China. And had a picture, they were tearing this building, church building down, and the believers were getting beaten, and they were all kneeling in front of that church building that was getting torn down. Do we pray for that? Is our modem stuck on local? Do we need to reboot it and pray for all the saints? We need to broaden our prayer topics. We need to zoom out. I want to add another point of application here. we also need to zoom in on our prayers. I know on my phone, my weather radar map, when I pull it up, the radar, it only shows the city of Harrisburg and York by name. But when I zoom in, details appear. Then it even shows Hanover, Red Line, and Gettysburg. I zoom in even more, and it shows more detail. It shows Spring Grove, Dover, New Oxford. It's not like they weren't there all the time. It's just zooming in brought out the detail. You know, there are petitions we need to pray about. But because we're stuck in Harrisburg and York, we never see Spring Grove or Dover or New Oxford. We become lazy. We don't put effort in our prayers. We don't zoom in. We just say a general prayer of worship and neglect the detailed prayer of supplication. I want to give you an example. I know examples really help me when I'm listening to a sermon. So let me give you an example. This is an example of a general prayer of worship. Lord, I pray for my neighbors that they would come to know you, and also pray that you would guide the ministry team here at Pleasant Hill. That's a general prayer of worship for your neighbors and for the ministry team. Now, when you zoom in, you see details that become petitions to God. And this is how this could go. A prayer petition. Father, I ask you to help my neighbor, Amanda, to come to know you. God, help John to meet a Christian at his job so he can be converted. Help me as I talk with him, Father. And Father, I beg that you would use the trial my neighbor Sally and Tom are going through to help them think of eternity. Father, I pray to you that you would lead Brother Ken Nell as he leads the Council of Brothers and Elders. I pray for Glenn Miller as he works with the men at the Adams Rescue Mission. I pray for Brother Paul as he is preaching in many churches that you would use him for your glory. I pray for Harold as he writes Bible helps in the BRF Witness. Guide his thoughts, help his health. You see, when we zoom in, we never have to wonder what to pray about. Rather, we become saturated with prayer requests. I want to give two more examples, real examples of the prayer of supplication. I think it was 2 weeks ago, I got a text from a young sister from this church. And she said she met a lady walking by her road, and her name is Amanda. And she asked if I would join her in praying for Amanda. Also this week, I had a text from a brother, and he said he's praying for me and Sharon. And then he listed a detail in my life that he was specifically praying about that detail in my life. That's supplication, praying. We zoom in on the details, but we also zoom out to the big picture. It's an unceasing attitude of prayer request to God. All types of prayer at all occasions, at all times and occasions for all saints. The last all is all perseverance. And watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints. This word perseverance, it's the only place where this Greek word is used in the New Testament. And it's talking about persistency, not giving up. I will pray, I will pray, I will pray, I will pray. I will not give up, I will not grow weary. I will do it, I will do it. Luke 18, verse 1 says, and he spoke a parable unto them to this end, that men ought always to pray and not to faint. Keep on praying, don't faint. You know, there's so much to pray about, and there can be so much emotion in praying, and we can get discouraged when it seems like our prayers don't get answered, and it's tiring and it's time consuming. Paul says, don't give up, keep on praying, be consistent. Don't get weary. I want us to pay attention to the word watching in verse 18. And watching thereunto. There's only three other places in the Greek where this word is used. And I noticed the context. Every time it means Watch out so something bad doesn't happen to you. There is danger. You need extreme caution. Watch, or something bad might happen to you. Like one example in Luke 21, verse 6, 36, it says, "Watch ye therefore and pray always that ye may be accounted worthy to escape all those things." In other words, something bad's going to happen to you if you don't watch. You will not escape. Can you see where Ephesians 6, verse 18 is headed? The first part emphasizes the importance of prayer. It's needed. It's something good. Do it a lot. Do all types. But the second part is a warning. If you don't pray a lot, something bad could happen to you. It kind of reminded me of maybe a doctor who maybe wanted me to have some kind of surgery. And first he would tell me how it would improve the quality of my life and make me feel so much better. But then he gives a negative. He says, if you don't have it, you might die. He gets my full attention to agree to the surgery. Paul is saying to us here at Pleasant Hill, prayer is important. It's helpful. But it's that much a necessity to your spiritual health that you need to watch. You need to guard this discipline or something bad might happen to you. How many of you ever worried you didn't pray enough? Put your hand up. Okay, I see a couple. Well, that is actually the essence of what Ephesians 6, the last part, Ephesians 6, verse 18, is saying. Prayer is that vital. We need to be in a good spiritual state of anxiety. I have to pray. Did I pray? Guard prayer. Never let it slip from your grip. Prayer isn't just something nice. It isn't just something good. It's not just an extra privilege for the Christian. It's the spiritual air we breathe. Without it, we will suffer. Our families will suffer. Our church will suffer. Our neighbors will suffer. The world will suffer. There are three words we missed in Ephesians 6, verse 18. In the Spirit. Our prayers are to be in the Spirit, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit. Is it possible we don't pray like we should because we are not spiritual men and women? Jude 1, verse 20. But ye, beloved, building yourselves on your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Ghost. The Spirit helps us to pray. The Spirit gives us words to pray. It was the Holy Spirit that prompted our sister to feel a special burden to pray for Amanda. That the Holy Spirit prompted that brother to pray for Sharon and special need in my life. You see, the Holy Spirit is that power within us. In Ephesians 3, verse 20, it talks, now unto him that is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us. The Spirit's power works in us, and it manifests in prayer. Prayerlessness is a sign of lacking the Spirit. No prayer equals no moving of the Spirit. If blood isn't flowing through my veins, you would say my heart isn't beating, right? If I flick a light switch on and nothing happens, you would say there's no electricity flowing, right? Well, if you pray, if you hardly pray, or you never pray, it means you are seriously disconnected from the Holy Spirit. I want to close with a quote by Jim Cimbala. He said, teaching is good only when there's life to be channeled. If the listeners are in a spiritual coma, what we're telling them may be fine and orthodox, but unfortunately, spiritual life cannot be taught. Pastors and churches have to get uncomfortable enough to say, we are not New Testament churches if we don't have a prayer life. This conviction makes us squirm a little. But how else will there be a breakthrough with God? If my church or your church isn't praying, We shouldn't be boasting in our orthodoxy, unquote. The prayer of supplication, detailed, specialized petitions to God. We're to use all types of communication with God. The prayer closet, unceasing prayer, intercessory prayer, prevailing prayer, corporate prayer. We're to use all types. At all times. That means if you think it, what are you to do? Pray it. If you think it, pray it. For all saints, we are to zoom out to see the big picture and pray as we zoom out. But we are also to zoom in and pray about details instead of just a general prayer. It says, with all perseverance, never give up. Watch. You know, I heard the saying already, it pays to pray, which is true. But I think we can also say, you'll pay if you don't pray. It's going to be costly to not pray. I want to ask myself, and I want to ask each of us, are we willing to repent of our shallow prayer life? Will we become spiritual men and women of God and start a lifestyle that has an attitude of prayer all day through? May God bless each of you.
Please stand for closing prayer.